اللهم لك الحمد لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك أحمدك ربي وأستعينك وأستهديك وأستغفرك وأستلهمك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى وأشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت الواحد الأحد والفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم عليه وصل على آله وصحابته ومن والاهم واهتدى بهديهم واستنى بسنتهم ودعا بدعوتهم إلى يوم الدين اللهم اجعلنا منهم أما بعد عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي أولا بتقوى الله اتقوا الله سبحانه وتعالى واتمروا أوامره واجتنبوا نواهيه لعلكم تفلحون My dear brothers and sisters, before I proceed, I praise Almighty Allah as it befits His glory and perfection. I recognize my words cannot truly do justice to the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I recognize no human language can describe Allah's true nature, because He is beyond human conception and images. He is incomparable, He is the absolute. There is nothing like Him in His creation. I bear witness that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final messenger. Allah has sent him just prior to the hour to bring good news and give warnings so that we come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are reminded of our journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our final standing before the Lord for reckoning. Today I will continue my series back to the basics. And of course, I explained two of the important traditions from that reputable collection of Imam An-Nawawi, Al-Arba'un An-Nawawiyyah, the 40 hadiths of Imam Nawawi. And today I want to take the 25th, Al-Hadith Al-Khamis Al-Ashroon, and I would like to invite your attention to the lessons, because today what is important for every Muslim is to come back to the basics, because there is a lot of misgivings, misunderstandings about the true beliefs and practices of Islam. And we can only correct ourselves by going back to the sources of this religion. And the sources are the Book of Allah and the well-attested traditions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When I say well-attested, I want to warn you against the spurious, doubtful, fabricated traditions. There are many of them in circulation. So we have to be forewarned against going by this, getting carried away by the so-called reports, because the giants of the Islamic civilization, they lived, dedicated their lives to sifting through these fabrications and concocted traditions, and they sifted through and selected for us and traditions that are judged as authentic, sahih, well attested. So these are the traditions that we should look forward to understanding the true message of Islam, the true practices of Islam, so that we can live Islam as we should live it in our life. The tradition in Imam Nawawi's collection, the 25th, The number 25 is reported by Imam Muslim and of course other sources. Imam Muslim is the student of Imam Bukhari. Who is Imam Bukhari? He is the doyen of Hadith traditionists. He is the Amirul Mu'mineen, the commander-in-chief of the scholars of tradition, prophetic traditions. And his student is Imam Muslim. Of course, when Imam Muslim and Bukhari together report a tradition, it is the well attested, it is unanimously accepted by scholars. The hadith is reported by Imam Muslim on the authority of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu. I want to say a few words about this great companion of the Prophet. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari has reported 281 traditions from Rasulullah. You see, this is something unique. I mention it all the time. The Islamic sources are documented. So you have a record, precise record of the tradition, the number of traditions reported by each and every companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu narrated 281 traditions from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And who was Abu Dharr? He was, according to his own words, he was the fifth person to embrace Islam. So he is min as-sabiqin al-awwaleen. He is from among the pioneers. Allah gave them citation in the Quran. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. Those pioneers, believers, from among the muhajirin and the Ansar, and those who shall follow them earnestly and sincerely, Allah is well pleased with them, and they are well pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds them out for us as exemplars and role models and mentors. So these are, after Rasulullah, these are our role models, exemplars for us. If you want to know what is the real Islam, we need to look to their lives, how they dedicated their lives, how they were committed to Islam, to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari was the first one to greet Rasulullah with Assalamu alaikum. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, unlike many of us, we have been Muslims for a long time, and yet how many of us guided others to Islam? We should ask this question. In the case of this companion, thanks to his efforts, his entire family and the entire tribe, all the members of his tribe embraced Islam through his own efforts. And of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a trainer, as a leader, he knew the potential of each of his companions. And he praised each one of them with something, some trait of character, whereby he excelled others. He said about Abu Dharr, "The earth has not given birth to anyone more truer in speech than Abu Dharr." He would be the one who is the fairest in speech. Of course, he is not talking about the messengers of Allah. He's talking about the ordinary believers, the followers of the prophets. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved him so much, and he missed him in the expedition of Tabuk. So he was gathered, sitting with his companions, and they were remembering those who were absent. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam missed Abu Dharr. And then they saw a lone figure walking towards a ghost-like figure. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wal yakun Abu Dharr." Let it be Abu Dharr. And it was Abu Dharr, radiyallahu anhu. And the Prophet uttered this statement, which was retained by eminent companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Rahimallahu Abu Dharr, oh yarhamullahu Abu Dharr, ya'ishu wahidan wa yamutu wahida wa yub'athu yawm al-qiyamati wahida." Abu Dharr will live as a loner, and he will die a loner, and will be raised up alone on the Day of Judgment. And of course, the prophecy of the Prophet was fulfilled, because there was no one fairer in speech than Abu Dharr. He did not hesitate to speak truth to the power. And because of that, the officials of Uthman radiallahu anhu, the pious caliph, the third one, caliph, complained that they are frustrated by his outspoken criticism of their policies. And of course, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu exiled him to Ar-Rabda in the outskirts of Medina towards the end of his life. And he was alone with his wife when he approached death, and his wife was deeply distressed how she can alone handle his janazah. He said, "Don't be distressed. Just you bathe me, you shroud me, and put me on the caravan track. Everything will be taken care of." And of course, she did that, and it did not take long. A caravan passed by, headed by none other than Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the eminent companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had heard the words of the Prophet about Abu Dharr. And of course, at that time he narrated to those present, and then of course we received it now. Ibn Mas'ud took charge of the janazah of Abu Dharr and prayed over him and buried him. Radiallahu anhu warlah, may Allah be well pleased with Abu Dharr. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu narrates, of course Abu Dharr was one of the poor members of the Muslim community. He said they were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, when you read these reports, it's important for me and you to compare the questions that we ask our scholars and jurists and muftis, and the questions the companions ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By doing so, we can judge our level of iman, our commitment to Islam. Very, very important. Abu Dharr says, "We were sitting with the Prophet. A group of companions came forward and asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 'Rich people have scooped all the rewards. They pray like we do. They fast like we do. And on top of that, they also give charity. And we poor believers cannot afford to give charity. So they have won the race and we are left behind.'" Look at the question coming from Sahaba. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to remind them of the nature of Allah's mercy, that the opportunities for good works are never ending. All that it takes you is to open your eyes, to be creative and find the opportunities. It's there for everybody. And he said, "Didn't Allah, don't you get a reward every time you say La ilaha illallah?" It's like a charity. Every time you say Alhamdulillah, it's an act of charity. Every time you say Subhanallah, it's an act of charity. And every time you counsel someone something good, command good, advise good, is an act of charity. And every time you advise people against doing wrong or forbid things that are wrongful, is an act of charity. And he also told them, look, when you have that intimacy with your spouse, it's also an act of charity, meriting rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Sahaba asked Rasulullah, how can we be rewarded for fulfilling our sexual desires? The Prophet of Allah asked them back, what if somebody goes out of his way and fulfills it in a haram way? Will he be punished for it or not? They said, yes. Said, likewise, you have a reward when you do it in the way that is lawful to you. Of course, the Prophet explained this concept in so many other ways. So the concept for us to learn is that in Islam, the good works are not exhausted by rituals of worship. According to our scholars, Ibn Rajab and others, the good works can be divided into two categories. The individual deeds that are saving devices, acts of worship. Of course, even acts of worship, if you look at it, most of it is spiritual, but it has a social dimension as well. So, acts that are beneficial for the individual, acts that are beneficial for the society, for the world. Anything beneficial that we do, وَفْعَلُوا الْخَيْرَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, do good. يَا أَيُّهُ الرَّسُولُ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. O prophets, Allah says that the revelation to every single messenger is, كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ, eat of that which is pure and lawful for you, وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا, and do good works. Always doing good works to make a difference in society. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you are helping someone who is stranded, when a blind man is trying to cross the street and you guide him, giving a hand and guide him to his destination, when you find someone who has no ride, you give him a ride, that's an act of charity. When you see someone trying to build something for the community, some good work, something productive, and you give him a hand, that's an act of charity. Or you have the potential to build something, to produce something good, beneficial, that's an act of charity. To smile is an act of charity, he said. He said, you cannot afford to make people happy by giving charity all the time, because not everybody has enough to give. But can't you afford to smile, to bring joy to the heart of your friend? Smile, appear pleasantly, tabassumuka fi wajhi akhika sadaqa. Smile. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became a muhsin. Why? You know, in Islam, there are prophets who are the highest. After prophets comes as-siddiqun. People like Abu Bakr Siddiq and others who are utterly committed to excel in good works. And we have a beautiful example that once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up in a congregation and asked, who among you is fasting today? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, I am. Who among you has given charity? Abu Bakr stood up and said, I have. Who among you has freed a slave? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, I did. Who among you has visited a sick person? He did. Who among you has attended a funeral? Abu Bakr again stood up and said, I have done that. And the Prophet said, Bakhin, Bakhin, Ya Abu Bakr. Ma arba imanuk. What an excellent faith you have, Abu Bakr. Ma sabakakum Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr excelled all of you, surpassed you all, not because of the too many good deeds he has done, but because of that deep faith and conviction in him, which motivates him to find the opportunities. So he is looking forward, seizing the opportunity. So this is the concept that the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us here. How often I get the question from our sisters, you know, we cannot pray the whole 7 days or 6, 8 days or 10 days sometimes. We cannot pray. We go for Umrah and then menstruation and we cannot perform Umrah. We come back without Umrah. What's the answer? Answer is given here. When you cannot perform something, not because of your fault, but because of circumstances beyond your control, you can reap the same rewards by doing what you can. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, a menstruating one making dhikr, or even taking a rest because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ هُوَ أَذَنْ is an affliction. It is something, they need to take rest. It's strain, it's draining, physically and emotionally, so they need to recuperate, they need to be relaxed. So Allah, out of His mercy, relieve them of these heavy burdens, and whatever little they can do, even the rest, they are rewarded for it. So, you don't need to take a pill, as some muftis will say, take a pill. And of course, you are interfering. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Aisha radhiyallahu anha, when she was crying, she had journeyed with him for Hajj, and then menstruation started, and she started crying. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is nothing to grieve over it. This is what Allah has decreed on the daughters of Adam. So the Creator knows, and there is no need for you to feel that you are deprived. You, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will compensate. This is why Imam Shawaliullah rahmatullahi alayhi, one of the greatest mujtahids ever produced in India, by India, Indian subcontinent, he gives us this beautiful lesson about the Sharia. Anytime you are not able to fulfill a religious requirement because of conditions beyond your control, you don't need to be worried. You can reap the same rewards by doing whatever you can. So of course, a physician doesn't need to worry because he cannot sit in itikaf. His surgery will substitute for that. As long as he doesn't simply do it for money, as a sacrifice, as a service. So any good deed that we perform, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directed us in so many ways, and that's why the great scholar of Islam, one of the greatest ones, Abdullah al-Mubarak, the essence of Islam is what you owe. Somebody asked him, what you owe to fellow human beings, fellow creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fellow creatures, what do you owe? The answer came, kafful adha, don't harm anybody. This is the minimum level. Don't hurt anybody, don't harm any creation of Allah, any creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sanusi rahmullah said, when you walk, you have to take care that you are not hurting any creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter big or small. That's, you should be cautious, careful in the way you walk, that you don't kill an ant or any humble creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by your thoughtless behavior, actions. So kafful adha, this is the minimum. And then he says, wa isda'ul ma'roof, and doing good. Khairun nasi, an-nasu al-khalqu iyalullah. The Prophet of Allah said, al-khalqu iyalullah. All of creation, Allah's dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the family of Allah. Of course, Allah has no husband, no wife, Allah has no father, no mother, no. The family of Allah means they are dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَخَيْرُ النَّاسِ خَيْرُ الْخَلْقِ أَنْفَاهُمْ لِعِيَالِهِ. And the best among the creation of Allah are those who are most helpful to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So brothers and sisters, let us understand the spirit of Islam. And finally, Imam Abdullah Mubarak said, وَبَسْتُ الْوَجْهِ وَالْإِنْبِسَاطُ إِلَى النَّاسِ إِلَى الْخَلْقِ. And appear pleasant, with a pleasant face, smiling, bringing joy to the heart of your brother. So, كَفُّ الْأَذَى وَإِصْدَعُ الْمَعْرُوفِ وَالْإِنْبِسَاطِ. Three things we owe to others. Number one, don't hurt anybody. By your word, by your hand, anyway. وَإِصْدَعُ الْمَعْرُوفِ. Do good. Be actively doing good. Wal imbisat, and appear with a pleasant face. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to come back to the sources of our religion and correct our misunderstanding so that we make a difference in the society around us. Of course, the elections are coming, I think. And of course, as Muslims, we need to make a difference. We need to exercise our voting power. Of course, by not doing that, we are becoming, maybe we are committing suicide, as some scholars said. Just like dogs, when the meeting is going on in the living room, the dogs bark in the backyard. Can they make any difference? Be part of the decision making. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to make a difference in this society for better, to move it forward, to make it fairer and more just. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لكم. الحمد لله الذي هدانا إلى دين الإسلام وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Let us pray for our brothers and sisters who have passed away. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات. Let us also pray for those who are sick and suffering. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on them. اللهم يا رحمن يا رحيم يا رحمن الدنيا والآخرة ورحيمهما أنت ترحمهم فارحمهم رحمة من عندك تغنيهم يا رحمة من سواك. اللهم رب الناس أذهب الباس اشفي أنت الشافي اشفي أنت الشافي اشفي أنت الشافي شفاء لا يغادر سقما. ربنا لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا حاجة ترضيك إلا قضيتها يا أرحم الراحمين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم أحينا مسلمين وتوفنا مؤمنين وألحقنا بالصالحين. أقم الصلاة.